tells us in Galatians 3:13, we've been over this so many times, I'm just going to quote it. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made to be a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And then verse 14 tells us why he did it. He said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then if we wonder who this is for, in the last verse of Galatians chapter 3, in verse 29, it tells us, and if you be Christ, then are you heirs according to the promise, and you are Abraham's seed. The question then becomes, well, you know, I'm really interested in this now. I've been redeemed from something. What is it? What have I been redeemed from? Well, you have to go back in the law, which is the first five books of the Bible, and find out. Just turn to Deuteronomy 28, and God was good enough to summarize these curses and also summarize the blessings for us in one chapter of the Bible, really. So let's turn back there. We covered some of this last week, so I don't want to repeat all this, but basically what we have here in the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28 are the blessing of Abraham. This is the blessing that Jesus is trying to get to us. But before we get this blessing, we got to get the curse off of us. So Jesus redeemed us from the curse. All right? So in verses 15 on to the end of the chapter is the curses that he redeemed us from. All right? Go over and read what was in those curses this week. Just read to the end of the chapter and find out what was in there. Not to get, oh, curses, you know, that sounds so bad. But realize, you're redeemed from these things. These are things that when the enemy tries to bring these things on you, you don't have to accept them anymore, okay? And basically what it boils down to is poverty and sickness. Now, spiritual death is covered in another part of the law, the first five books, where every person born on this planet, really, if you've gotten to the age of reason, is operating under spiritual death until they accept Jesus as their Savior. And so we've all taken care of that. So there's not a whole lot of sense in dwelling on that. But the rest of the curse is poverty and sickness and disease. Now, these are some of the things that we still deal with while we're in this world, but not of this world. And so Jesus has legally redeemed us from these things. In other words, what is poverty? Poverty is not having enough of something you need to get by. You know, it doesn't have to just be finances. That could be part of it. But we find in Deuteronomy 28 that it divides itself up into about seven different areas. And I've listed these in your outline. And first of all, it's lack of material things that you need to get by. You know, it could be finances, it could be, in the old days it was food maybe and cattle and things that they used. But whatever you need, all your material things that you need and things that you want would be considered under the heading of lack. Did you know that marital problems are in the curse? If you go back and read Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 to the end of the chapter, you'll find in verses 30, 54, and 56, it summarizes some marital problems that were under the curse. These are the kind of stuff that Satan tries to stir up in marriages, if he can. All right? We don't have to receive those anymore. I mean, when we suspect that Satan is at the heart of some of this stuff, we tell him to stop in the name of Jesus because we were redeemed from this. Now, let me just say something before I go on. Everything that comes against you isn't necessarily the enemy. We understand that, right? I mean, but your problems basically boil down to three things. It's what the Bible says. It's the world, the flesh, or the devil. It's the world, your flesh, or the devil, usually, bringing things, okay? Now, it could be Satan, but in this area of marriage especially, I was reading this verse, and I thought, oh, that's under the curse, you know? The enemy will try to get involved. He'll try to cause marital friction in the family, things like that. And that was in the curse, which we're reading from. But also, our flesh is another thing that we have to be careful of, too. I mean, it isn't always the enemy when I want to be selfish, right? Well, I rebuke you because I want to do this, you know. I mean, it's sometimes it's just our own flesh we want to do something. It's just, and so, if you suspect the enemy is taking a hand in your marriage or in these other problems, then by all means, come before him and say, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, or devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, I remind you that it is written that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And this particular curse, this thing that you're trying to put on me, is in that curse, and I refuse it right now in Jesus' name. I'm not going to accept it. Now, that's what you do if the enemy's behind it. If it's your flesh, that's a different story. If it's your flesh, you basically just behave. You just basically say, you know, I had to learn this in our own marriage, Marianne and I, that it's not just about Mike. You know, selfishness causes most marital problems, okay? And the Lord had to show me, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is what it did it for me mostly, the love chapter. It showed me how Mike is supposed to behave. It doesn't show me how Marianne is supposed to behave, although that's what I first thought it meant. The Lord had to show me, no, this is what you do. But I said, but what about, no, you got it all wrong. This is what you do. You leave Marianne to me. I'll take care of her. You just do what you're supposed to do, and if you do what you're supposed to do, everything will work out great. But Lord, I'm trying to do that, and I don't, you know, it still seems like, Mike, yeah, you just suffer long and be kind. You just take no account of a suffered wrong when somebody does something to you. Yeah, Lord, but they did, I know that. But what does it say? Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. All right, what are you supposed to do? I'm supposed to take no account of the suffered wrong. Right. So that means that I'm supposed to just take it? Right. Like I took it. Oh. But Marianne, get off of that. Just do your part, Mike. It took me a while, folks, to get this through my thick head. That all it was about what I'm supposed to do. It says, wives submit. Whoa, Mike. Says wives there, right? Yeah. What's the next verse? Husbands, that's your verse. You do that one. So what does it say? Husbands, love your wives. You love your wife. Well, I love her. But you love her through action. Show her you love her. Cherish her. Treat her as a prized possession. It's a fragile crystal goblet. Protect her. Nurture her. Cherish her. But I thought she was supposed to, Mike. That's her. That's his wives. It took me a while to get this through my head. But you know what? Once I did, oh, the change. It wasn't always easy. The flesh. That's where the flesh comes in. You got to put that old flesh down. It doesn't want to take it. It doesn't want to suffer long and be kind. It doesn't want to, it wants to retaliate. But you can gradually keep it under. And you can gradually put it down. And it's never easy. It just gets easier. Because your body gets more used to obeying the spirit man and not just doing whatever it wants to do all the time. You know, if we'll walk in the spirit, the Bible says, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the flesh won't be as much of a problem. But we've got to walk in the spirit. How do you walk in the spirit? Well, you got to spend some time in the word. You got to spend some time praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit to me, praying in tongues helps more than anything, I think. But you've got to walk in the Spirit. You've got to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. What are they? Love, joy, peace, all those things. You know, as you spend time in the Word and time, give the Lord priority time and walk in the Spirit, it's not so hard to put the flesh under when you have to. Okay, but so I'm just pointing out here really that sometimes it isn't just the enemy, sometimes it's just our flesh that we've got to put down, and that was an example. Children problems. I mean, there's verses in there that talk about people trying to steal your children, and they don't mean literally kidnapping necessarily. They just mean through drug dealers, and people will come up and offer your kids something when you're not around and stuff like this, that the enemy will try to steal your children when they're off your property. See, when they're in your house, you could exercise more control because you're in charge there, you're right there. But when they get in a classroom, when they get at school, even though you still have authority over that child, they're kind of out of your bailiwick. So, and there's other temptations out there, and the enemy will choose those times. He's smart enough to know that he's not going to come in this house and steal from me. He knows he can't get on his property. He doesn't try it. I mean, he flat can't get through the gates down there. And that's, I'm not just saying that, it's a fact. Because I don't let him. But when my kids go away from me, and they have their own free will, they can make decisions that I don't particularly think are great decisions, but they're a free moral agent. They have to see these things for themselves. Your prayers can protect them to a certain point, but then they have to acquiesce, and they have to make decisions on their own. God will never overrule a human spirit. If somebody wants to go to hell, they can go there. God doesn't want them to go there, but they can go if they want to. Who would go if they really knew what that meant? But what I'm pointing out here is that children problems, you can take authority using this. You're redeemed from this curse where people steal your children. You know, we've used this when we were having our problems with some of our children. You come in here and come right to that verse and says, you will not steal my child. You will not cause my child to go that way. I break your power over my child in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's written right here. It's in the curse. And I'm redeemed from that curse. And I don't put up with this anymore. Well, you won't always see immediate results. The Lord has to make the other person want to change. But once he gets their will, like my son, when he showed up out here, we were talking the other night, he came here to our house out of jail. They'd made a mistake booking him, and he was supposed to be in there. Came kind of strutting up here, kind of cocky. Borrowed a drug dealer's car to get here because he had no wheels. Yeah, that was gruesome. But completely cocky. Well, I got out of jail. Surprised to see me, you know. And I just looked at him and I said, son, when are you going to turn your life over to the Lord? Aren't you about ready to turn your life over to the Lord? He just looked at me and in tears started rolling. He says, yeah, I'm ready right now. I mean, that's God. I mean, you know, but it doesn't always happen just the time you'd like it to happen. But you keep on these things. You don't let up. You know what I mean? You'd be like a bulldog. Bulldog doesn't let go. You know, bulldog isn't particularly... hasn't got particularly long fangs and teeth. They just don't give up. They don't let go. And that's what you got to do sometimes with the devil. Just don't let go. Just show him you mean business. You know what I mean? And know your rights. And you can't make this up. You have to know these things. And the only way you know these things is to get in the Word. And this is the first step. It's a good step. But then when you get home and when things start acting up, don't just forget everything you've learned. Put it into practice. See, that's the thing you need to do. And I see a lot of you doing that, and it's encouraging to me to see that happening. Put it into practice. Go before God, or go before the enemy first. The curse, usually you're dealing with the enemy, because he's the one who's bringing that curse, okay? Then when the blessing, you're dealing with God. But, you know, don't be afraid to deal with the enemy. You know, you have it all over him. He has no might or power or authority. He has a little power. He has no authority. You've got the authority and the power. You've got the authority in the name of Jesus and the God-given authority he gave you, which we studied about, and you've got the power of the greater one living in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's no contest there. See, once you get in your heart, there's no contest. And once the enemy, better yet, he knows that you know there's no contest, he won't bug you as bad as he did. Because you know what? How many, you know, he doesn't like to get beat up all the time either. You don't like it. He doesn't like it. He'll leave you alone for long periods after you get this known. But then he'll start creeping back some way. And usually what will happen is once he knows you know your rights, he'll try to get in through someone you love that isn't maybe as strong or something. Someone you care deeply about. Start messing in their life. You understand what I mean? There's not as strong maybe as you are in these areas.
Okay, but he was just saying, can you also cover over that person with the blood of the Lamb while I work to kind of protect him until life?
You can protect him to a certain degree. In other words, you can protect him to the degree that it doesn't infringe upon what they want to do. And what the Lord has to do is bring them around to where they finally say, I really want to go this way, just like my son. You know what I'm saying? But he can do that. And you can protect them, you can pray for them, and it will protect them and keep them functioning and alive to the point which they can't. You wouldn't be surprised. And our son, he was almost killed 2 or 3 times. I mean, one case he got mad and he just intentionally tried to take his life and ran his car into a telephone pole and flipped it end over end 3 times, going at a very high rate of speed, end over end, wasn't buckled in. And during the accident, he said, are you okay? We went to the hospital and he had a little cut in his head. That was all. The car was completely demolished. The moonroof was out and all that. He should have flown out with no belt on or anything, but he kept in the car. And he said, the only pain I have is right here across my shoulders. And he said, Dad, during the crash, I felt my hands on my shoulders hold me. He said, it held me so hard, it hurt. He says, I felt that. He didn't have his belt on. And he was injured to some degree. But yes, our prayers can help very much at those people. But see, what I'm trying to say, Sue, is it's not always instantaneous like we'd like it to be, simply because God can't just go in, clonk them on the head, so you will go this way. You're not having any more choices in life. I'm taking all choices away from here. Now, get over there and behave. You know, he can't really do that to that degree, because God didn't do it to Adam, did he? He didn't go up to Adam and clonk him and said, I see what you're about to do, Adam. You're going to foul up the whole future for everybody if you do this. Now just stop and think for a minute. But you can pray, and you can keep bringing them back to the point to finally where they'll just come in there, you know. So I don't know if that's answered your question completely. But
you can also use the strength that you have as a Christian, knowing the Lord lives inside you, to bind the devil in whoever's life. I mean, I have prayed many nights when I went and gotten up, wherever Sean is, devil, I command you as a child of the Most High God, to take your hands off of him, anybody around him, and any of the surroundings. Be gone, I command you. But I knew I had strength and power to do that. I knew it. I didn't know where it was. Something else, but I couldn't deal with it, knowing that I had the power over the devil. He has no power unless you give it to him.
That's right. And you can do that.
The devil in the actions around the sun.
Especially in someone in your own family. I mean, that you have a relationship with, like a child or a husband or a wife. You can exert more authority there than you can if it's just someone out there going their own merry way, wanting to go to the bars, wanting to... If they're in that mode in their life right now, it takes a little longer sometimes. But when you're married to somebody, like let's say Marianne just started going off the deep end or something like that, we're one flesh with each other. I don't have to sit back and take that. She's part of me. You know, I come in here and bind that devil is doing that in her life in the name of Jesus Christ, take authority over it, and she will come around. So there's elements of authority that we have in certain areas and less than others. We always have authority over the devil. We do not have authority over other people.
See, I think what hurt me the worst was when he was left, he received the Lord in his heart. This is my youngest son. And he has been taught the Bible. He lived with a couple and her husband taught him to go to the Bible. And the other night when all this come about, it was like, Mom, I am done with religion. God has not done anything for me. And it just nearly ripped my heart out.
I know it hurts, but don't even rise to that base, Sue.
Yeah.
Just get in your private time with the Lord and say, Lord, we know better.
Yes.
We know that. Now, I'll tell you something. Listen, don't bug him.
Yeah.
Just leave him alone. He's not a little child anymore, is he? So when they get a certain age, you got to leave. You cannot treat them like you would if they were 8 to 10 years old. You've got to leave this with the Lord. And that's what we're talking. That's when the Lord gave you that word tonight. It said, you know, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, leave it with me. And then start thanking me for the answer before you see it. And that peace will come. Don't react to every situation. Don't be like one of these, you know, these little clowns that they used to hit. And go, boing, 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 hit me, you know, boing, boing. Oh, no, do you really mean that? Are you saying that? No, don't say that. You know, don't pay any attention to them. They're just firing for effect. The enemy's trying to bug you. He's trying to get in your life. He's trying to use your son to do it. But you, in your private time, you go and you thank the Lord that he's coming around. Don't bug him to go to church. Don't bug him about his private life. Don't bug him about anything. Just be loving Mom. Okay? Now, you do this. And all of a sudden, you're going to find him saying, you know, I think I'd like to go to church with you Sunday, Mom. Say, well, you know, if you want to. Don't go, oh, thank God. If you want to, son, it'd be okay. You know, just be cool.
Yeah, cool.
You understand what I'm saying? Because you and God got it all settled. But you don't have to react to everything the devil brings. He loves that. We're reacting this way. You waste so much time and energy. Just smile to yourself and think, God and I know better. We prayed. You know, I bound the enemy in my son's life. Do that if you haven't done that. And then just let it go. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. Doesn't mean you have to see it. There's no faith involved when you finally see him come around. Well, thank God. Thank him now because you've prayed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, so do it. It'll make a difference. But as long as you're reacting to everything, as long as you're getting upset, what does that say to God? She doesn't believe a word that we prayed. Not a thing. My hands are tied. Now the enemy, he's off doing whatever he wants to do. God can't do anything. You're in a bad position. But do it this way, and you'll see a change. Not today, not tomorrow maybe, but it will change. It won't take that long. But do it, Sue, because if you love your son, do it this way. The other way won't work. And it'll just keep you exhausted, keep you on tenterhooks all the time. You're reacting to all these. Don't react to him anymore. Let him do whatever he wants to do. Just surround him with your faith and love when he goes out or whatever he's doing. But don't worry about it. Don't worry about it anymore. You don't have to worry about it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You can wake up.
You can do this.
I claim the peace that passes understanding. Devil, get out of my brain. Get out of my room. Get out anywhere near me. Get away from my son. I refuse it.
It doesn't get any worse.
Go in the bathroom or something.
And what we've been through on this, yeah. I can tell you some things that I have never shared with this group, and I'll never share with this group. It's because it's not edifying. It's not necessary. But I can tell you that God can drag somebody out of anything. But he only can do it if we act in faith and don't give up and give it to him. Now, you can do this. God wouldn't put these things in the Bible if it was impossible to do. Cast all your care upon me. When that starts coming on you, you pick up this whole ball of care that the enemy's bringing at you. You go carry it over there and imagine that Jesus is sitting where Stan is, or wherever it is in your home, and you say, Father, here's this care. It's trying to come back on me again, and you said to cast it on you. I don't want it. You can have it. You take it, and you carry the ball. I ain't carrying it anymore, and I'm just going to praise you and thank you for the answer. Now, that is acting on the word. That's what you need to do. May not be what everybody else do, but that's what you need to do. And it will work. When you do that, you'll have peace. You and the Lord can have your little laugh together when he pulls some of this stuff, because you know better. You're not going to turn out this way. And don't react to every little situation that comes up. Now, I can tell you this, Sue, and it's from God what I'm telling you. But it's only going to work if you work it. And if you love your son, do it this way. And we'll be sitting in this room at a future time, and we'll be laughing and crying together because he come around and he said, Mom, you were right all the time. So, don't give the enemy that pleasure anymore. Don't react to every little thing.
Don't give your son that.
Just get a couple of scriptures, like this, some of these, that on children problems. You read those where it says children problems. You go to those verses and read those. That's in the curse. And when the Satan tries to bring that on you, don't accept it. Say, no, it's in the curse. I'm not going to accept this for my child. Uh-uh. You're not going to use these people to steal my kid. You're not going to do it. We got to work this word. This is not something that we just go to a Bible study. Okay, that was great for tonight. What's next week, you know? The idea is to go home and actually put it to work. And you can do it. I know you can. And you know, that goes for the rest of us too. I mean, I think that everybody in this room really wants to have these things work in their lives. Folks, this will work. Either that or it's a flat lie. You know? The thing that's interesting though, I've never caught him in a lie yet. It works when I work it. I can't think of a prayer. Well, I can think of one prayer and never got answered. But I didn't know what I was doing when I prayed it. I could think of one. But that's neither here nor there. That was something I tried to find about 20 years ago that I never did find it. I don't know why I said that, but... but I guess the exception proves the rule. This really does work. So praise the Lord. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. It includes people problems, people stealing what you have, you know, people being jealous, trying to get what you got, you know, whether it's at work or trying to get your promotion or your your rights, your dreams and hopes coming to nothing. You know, if you've had a dream your whole life, there's a verse that covers that in here, verse 33. If you think it's something the Lord wants you to do and the enemy's been coming against you, tell him no. All right, that's poverty. We're also redeemed from the curse of sickness and disease. All right, now, verse 21, and I'm not going to take the time to go back and read all this because I'm running a little late tonight, covers contagious diseases. Any contagious disease is covered. Verse 22 covers, it calls it in the King James Version, consumption, but it's TB, tuberculosis. All kinds of fevers. Any fever is covered. Typhus, typhoid, scarlet, rheumatic, smallpox. All inflammations, it says, are covered. Any swellings. These are all things that you can use. You can come in there and say, nope, inflammation, swelling, you're going to have to go down in this leg in the name of Jesus because that was in the curse and I'm not going to accept that in my life right now. The botch of Egypt, I don't know what that is exactly, but I've heard some people say it's leprosy. Boils are in there, tumors. Cancer has tumors, doesn't it? Verse 28 covers all kinds of madness, or we'd say today, insanity. Bewilderment. Confusion of mind. I'm thinking to myself, that could be like Alzheimer's disease. You know, if someone could get to these people before they develop some of these things and show them the rights and privileges of Christians, if they're Christians, if they are Christians. You don't, and blindness. You know, these are very practical things. Then you say, well, I haven't found mine. Well, just go to verse 61. And it says, and every other disease and sickness that wasn't written here is covered. I love that verse. That's the one I use because it's easier to remember. It's easier than remembering where all these things are and which verses. I just come before the enemy and I say, Satan, I do this. I get away from Marianne. Let's say something at night comes on me like a little sore throat starts coming in. I don't feel quite right, and the stomach starts to get upset. I mean, that's a practical thing that we all deal with occasionally. I just get out of bed, go somewhere else where Marianne can't hear me, say, now listen, the Word of God says, Satan, that sickness and disease was in the curse of the law. I am redeemed from that curse in the name of Jesus Christ, and I remind you of it. It is written that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, too. That Jesus took my infirmities, and bore my sickness. And what Jesus bore, I don't have to bear again, Satan. So you take this symptoms that you're trying to put on me right now and leave. Right now, in Jesus' name, I command these to go. And I just quote these scriptures and I said, in Deuteronomy 28:61 says that every sickness and every disease was in the curse. You can't argue with that because they're all there. You know, if you forget where the other ones are, well, use 61 because that's where they all are summarized. And you're not putting it on me. And I just thank my Heavenly Father. Father, thank you that Jesus went to the trouble to redeem me from this. I don't have to accept this. And I'm not going to. Now, that should work. Is there any way that it might not work? Unfortunately, yes. What is it? Well, the Bible says, if I'll keep myself, 1 John 5:18, the wicked one touches me not. And the verse above that, it says, the way I don't keep myself is by sin. Not walking in love. On the couple of times this has not worked right away, or within a reasonable amount of time, I don't leave it hang there. Because if I do, I'm thinking, the next time I go pray, I'm wondering, well, I wonder what happened last time, why this didn't seem to work right. So I just have adopted this philosophy. I go before my Heavenly Father and say, Father, now your word said this, and I know it's true. Now, this didn't work like it's supposed to. And it didn't work because something I don't understand here. Your word's pretty clear here. And you didn't miss it. You never miss it. But I may have missed it somewhere. Show me where I did. And you know what? He always does. And you know where it's been? Now, this is for me. I'm not putting anything on you. Every single time, just about. A couple times. I'll tell you another reason. But most of the times, it was somewhere, somebody I had not acted in love toward. I'd got mad at, held a grudge against, had some unforgiveness toward, or something like that. I had to get rid of that first, okay? Because I wasn't keeping myself, see? I was walking out from under my umbrella of protection here that the Lord's purchased for me, and I'd gotten off in Satan's territory through unconfessed sin. I hadn't confessed this yet. And all of a sudden, this person's face would come up before me. I go, oh my goodness. But he was wrong what he did. Yeah, he may have been wrong what he did, but you need to forgive that guy, even if he was wrong. And you haven't done that yet. You're holding a grudge here. Whoops. Get that cleared up, everything goes away. Another time, when I had some symptoms of sickness that didn't go away right away, was I developed kind of a sore throat, and I was starting to feel a little feverish. I wasn't feeling good, and I went in and went through the whole routine I told you about here. Not routine, I don't mean to make it sound like a routine. It's God's word here. And it didn't immediately go away or within a reasonable period of time. I asked the Lord, I said, why? What happened? He said, you need to repent for not taking care of your body. And you know what I'd done? I think I've shared it with some of you. I'd gone outside that day. That's when we lived in Minnesota. And I'd played basketball outside and gotten a little heated up. Took off my, it was 10 below zero in the wintertime. And I was playing out there in just like this, shooting baskets and playing my games where we're 1 point behind and Fitzpatrick's dribbling down the court. He jumps, he shoots, he missed. Well, I can always do this again. I'll do that again until I make it and win the game. Just stupid stuff. I used to just mess around out there, you know. But I knew better than that. I thought, this is pretty cool. I'm out here at 10 below zero just in my shirt sleeves, you know. This real Minnesota kind of guy, you know. Well, I wasn't taking care of my body. And you know, you go outside and get chill like that, and you're not taking care of the body God gave you, right? You know, you can't abuse your body. Now, this is an area you need to understand about a little bit, because some of us are a little bit more, I don't know, right brain than others, where we tend to think we can do anything. I don't care if I am 62, I can run a marathon again. I don't care if, you know, some of us are a little more phlegmatic, which, well, I don't want to do that, that's crazy business, you know, but some of us are a little more, there he is laughing over here, but, you know, goals, I can do this. You push yourself to the edge a little bit, you know, work all day and all night just to prove that you can do it, but that's not the best thing for your body. And you can overdo it, and then you get sick or something like that, and then you wonder, why did I get healed right away? Why did this come upon me? Listen, I'm telling you something I found out. God says take care of that body and don't push it past a certain limit. If something comes upon you and there's some work you need to do, don't overdo it. I mean, work hard, but not foolishly hard. Don't get so mad at the situation sometimes. That's another thing, angry. Well, this is a situation that came in my life, you know, and I'm just going to bust my tail till I get through it, and I won't sleep, and my wife's going, Mike, you know, you need to just settle down here. Now I'm going to bust through until I get this thing done, and I'm going to do this thing, and I abuse my body, and I go so far, and then all of a sudden something happens, and I didn't take care of myself the way I should have. Read about Epaphroditus. Everybody goes, who's Epaphroditus? Well, he's a guy in the Bible that couldn't get his healing. Just mentioned briefly, but when I'm teaching on healing or learning about healing, I'm very interested in some Christian didn't get his healing. Why didn't he get his healing? There's only a couple places in the Bible like that. And old Epaphroditus was working too hard. Go back and read that real closely in there. He was near unto death. He was a good guy. He loved the brethren, talked about. But he worked so hard for the Lord. Take care of your body. I've heard some preachers of the gospel say, God told me when I get this way, I need to quit. I don't care if the heating line's going out the door. There's a time I need to stop. I get exhausted. My body can only take so much, you know. My spirit man is strong, but, you know, I need to obey the God-given order to my body, not to abuse my body past a certain point. Some people think that people ought to be able to go all the time, but your body is not your spirit. Your spirit is renewed day by day, but your body does get older, you know, and we need to take care of that body. And so I don't know how we got on this, but those are a couple areas that I've learned that, you know, if my healing doesn't come, and I know some of these things in here, these are two areas that Mike needs to watch. Did I bring this on through some stupid, foolish thing I did? through not taking care of myself the way I should have? Or have I gotten out of the love commandment where the wicked one can touch me? Something like that. But the Word of God always works. Now, this is more not, it's not the norm anymore for this to happen. In days gone by, I didn't know some of these things. Now I know enough that when I get out from under the umbrella of protection through something I've said or done or some bit of strife I might have got into Marianne, to get it taken care of right now. To go in and say, honey, I'm sorry, you know, 2 minutes after it happened. If I, it was a sharp word or something like that, get it settled now. Don't walk off from under that umbrella of protection. Stay out there for any length of time. You understand what I'm saying here? Go in and say, Father, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I repent. Forgive me. And he does immediately. See, these old Israelites, they had to wait to, you know, they goofed up 10 minutes after they had that guy walk in there and with the blood of the goats and stuff and take it in the heavenly, or the, not the heavenly, but in the Holy of Holies and for their sins. And wouldn't it be discouraging to sin about 10 minutes later? Oh, a whole year before he goes in again. I got to live with this for a whole year. That's what I felt when I was a Catholic, by the way. I got to live this until Saturday. That's when he hears confessions. Anybody else ever been there? Yep. Oh, no. And then this one. That guy knows me, too. I'm going to the other priest a little bit out of town. He doesn't know me. I don't want to confess this one to him. He knows, because the last time I was there, I said, well, Mike, what do you got for me today? That shattered me. It did. I thought, he knows who it is. Why wouldn't he? He's in our house half the time and stuff like that, you know. What have you got for me today? Oh, no, he knows who it is. That's the last time I ever came in him almost. But thank God I did. That was one of the best things for me when I became a Christian, when I found out that if I sinned, I could instantly just go before my Heavenly Father and say, Father, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And he instantly forgave me. I didn't have to wait till Saturday anymore. And worry about him saying, Mike, you got to try a little harder. You're not supposed to know who I am, Father. Well, that's good enough for tonight.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
The first question was, true or false, I am redeemed from poverty because it's in the curse of the law. True or false?
True.
Poverty, sickness, and spiritual death we're redeemed from. All right, we talked about, remember, the curse is sort of like a big negative. It's like an overdrawn bank account. It's worse than no money at all. It's worse than nothing at all. A curse is way in the negative end of things. When you get rid of the curse, you're back to zero. But thank God he didn't leave us there. Then he gave us the blessing of Abraham, and we'll talk about that later on tonight. True or false? Therefore, it's wrong if I work two jobs to work overtime to pay my bills. In other words, because I've been redeemed from poverty, why work two jobs? Is it wrong to work two jobs to work overtime? No, it's not wrong. It's not wrong at all. That's not what we're talking about. Then next question says, no, but since I'm redeemed from the curse of poverty, I should act on this promise too if I suspect that the enemy may be messing in my finances. True or false? In other words, that's true. Go ahead and do what you need to do about your finances. But if things still don't seem to be, you know, we don't want everybody to just stay home, don't go to work, of course. That's stupid. But we also need to understand that sometimes we need to take a hand with the enemy. He can be messing in there too. And if you find yourself always behind the eight ball and always working your tail off and still having trouble making ends meet, then you might want to check into this thing in here and see if you just maybe enemies in your situation, and just to tell him that you've been redeemed from this curse and that you're eligible for the blessing of Abraham. Okay. Number four, I don't have to put up with poverty or lack in my life because Jesus redeemed me from the curse. I can now do something about it. True or false?
True.
And what would we do about it? Any ideas?
We act on it.
Act on it. That's exactly right. We don't just sit back and say, well, Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law. If anything comes on me, well, I guess I don't understand it, but Jesus, I know, redeemed me from the curse. No, we act on it. We say, tell the enemy, no, you can't do this in my life. Don't let him run over you. Just because something is legally yours does not mean that the enemy won't try to steal it from you. Especially if you don't know about it, or you don't believe it, or as Mad says don't act upon it.
That's what this girl said. She said, where did you learn all this? And I said, well, go back to your Bible. I know she's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, go to your Bible. I said, Deuteronomy. And I give her verses and everything. And she
wow.
said, I know all that. But she said, I never was taught how to do this.
Yeah.
That's more.
Yeah, how?
Because relate
when
with
we've
that.
Done,
how?
When we've done our relating to our friends about sickness, and they're good Christians too, and they'll say, well, we know all those scriptures, but we've never heard it explained that way before. Well, what we've done is turn a concept into an action.
Mm-hmm.
There's something they can do about it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, where it says you've got to act on it. Absolutely. Well, you can speak to it.
Right.
Is there any other action I'm missing?
Financially.
Yeah, or even the healing.
Yeah. Then after you speak to it, the action, watch your words. Be careful that everything you say and act and do after that is in line with the thing that you've just spoken to the situation about. In other words, don't speak to your poverty or sickness and then go away and a day later be moaning about it with somebody. Continue to act until the manifestation comes.
So plus or minus.
No.
I had a teacher here who told me that when you believe means that scripture's in your spirit by now. By his stripes I am healed. When you believe, you receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start praising God about it.
Yes.
Because you've already received it.
Right, see? That's not so strange to you when you realize that when you believe you receive when you pray.
Teacher.
Oh, I was a teacher. Oh. I thought, boy, that guy agrees with me right down the road there. No, I was just taking comfort in the fact I wasn't all alone. It's me and the Word. Thank you. Did you have something else to add, Thorpe? Okay.
You want more?
No. Yeah. This has been a good night. Oh, boy.
We love you.
Thank you. Boy, this is a great night, I tell you. Well, you know, what I found, too, we talked about the how of it. I have found, it seems like preachers... And there's a difference between preaching and teaching. Preachers more get into the what and the maybe the why, if you're lucky. Where teachers are more interested in the how. How does the body of Christ make this work in their lives? That's what a teacher wants the people. They want to see people use this stuff, not just, they want to tell them, do it this way. You know, that's why on the finances, you know, I try to say, you know, first of all, you know, bind the enemy, you know. Tell him you're redeemed from the curse. Second of all, claim the blessing you want. Third of all, you know, loose to your ministering spirits. Go cause that money to come in. The spirits that are sent to minister for the heirs of salvation. And I always say, of which I am one. Hebrews 1:14, that's me. You know, do it this way. One guy, when I was teaching on this last, had me write it all out. He said, would you write out exactly what I should say? And I thought, well, if it helps, sure, you know, I'll write it out. This is what I say, you know. Sickness comes, you know, or something. Sickness symptoms. I go in, get away from Mary Ann, so I don't bug her. I say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I just come before you right now to tell you that it is written in the Word of God, in Galatians 3:13, that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And in that curse is every sickness and every disease. Therefore, I'm redeemed from every sickness and every disease. And this sickness that you're trying to put on me, you're doing illegally right now. So I say, I refuse these sickness symptoms in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I'm returning them to sender. You ever do that with a package that comes in the mail if it isn't for you? Return it to sender. You don't have to accept it. And now, thank you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I am healed. I'm not the... This is something the Lord told me to say. Now, listen to this. I've never said this very much. I am not the sick waiting to get healed. I am the healed whom Satan is trying to make sick.
That's right.
There's a difference. And when you begin to see it this way, you have a lot greater success with maintaining healing in your life. And then I start thanking my Heavenly Father for the healing that Jesus purchased for me. For by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And if I was healed, I'm healed right now, no matter what it looks like in the natural. And then that Himself, Matthew 8:17 says, took my infirmities and bare my sickness. And I always say, what Jesus bore, I needn't bear again. And so, you know, and then, no matter what you feel like after that, continue to maintain that confession. You know, that's what Thorpe was talking about, acting. And Madge was talking about acting on it. Don't stop then and go, how do I feel? You know, has my fever gone down yet? I mean, you know, that means that you're kind of not really believing yet. You're trying to check out, seeing if it's working or not. No, if just continue to walk in this, confess it, and I don't care how serious it is. You know, we're talking maybe, you know, a cold. Okay, that's one thing. But cancer, that's another thing. It works the same way. It's no harder for God to heal us of cancer than it is of a common cold. And so I just get excited about this. This is something a lot of people don't know about. You know, unfortunate in the body of Christ that something, they know a lot of little stuff, seems like sometimes, but these are big things that can really help you.
To them with a coordinated theology. It's always a little scared, a little there, a little,
mm-hmm.
Nothing makes any particular sense.
Yeah. Or if they think, if that's so good and it's so major in my life, how come I heard about it before? And they let their mind take it away from them. And sad to say, a lot of preachers reinforce this, that God just waiting for you to make a mistake and clonk you on the head about something. And they kind of go up with this wrathful God. God, did you know the Bible never talks about God's wrath toward his children ever in the Bible? It's always toward the sinner. And it's only because the sinner is going his way and not taking what God has provided for him. So, you know, a lot of Christians think God's wrath is on them, and it's not. And another thing, Christians think, they think that they're going to be judged someday. Well, it's a great judgment. I hope things work out. There's no judgment for Christians. You know, I mean, where do they get this? There's a right throne judgment, but it's not for Christians. People ought to know better, but they don't. Okay.
When I first came back in here, Mike was talking about the heart of the teacher and what the teacher wants to do. And I, having lived with him all these years and really doing teaching, constantly listening. You know, I'm never bored, any of that. But I'm always struck by the difference of the people who are like the Baptists. They get you saved. And that's the ultimate gift. That is the most supreme, most ultimate gift. Now you have a lifetime to live here. And God has made this provision for you to live here under all of his blessings. And people don't know that. And they never really do know it. They're thrilled and thank God and praise the Lord for the salvation part. But the heart of a teacher is, okay, now we have to walk it out on the earth. How's the best way? What was God's plan for us to walk out on the earth?
It's really...
You pick up on a word. I mean, you will pick up a word, the tense word. You know you have me looking at all tenses now.
I do.
You do it.
Half reading now, this from the curse of the law. Oh, we're going to get in tenses later on tonight, too.
Tensely intense.
By the way, one scripture that got me way back at the Presbyterian Church was John 10:10, where he says, I have come to give you life, to give more abundant, which answers your question.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean between here and tense? And that's what's brought us into this over the years.
Yeah. There's so much more I love the how part of things, you know. Okay, this is great, but how do I make it work in my life? I want to go to heaven and I want God to say, Mike, you used it all. Everything I purchased, you used. Great. I think that's why he bought it for me. All right, let's go on. If I am not redeemed from cancer, though, because it's a disease that came into being after the Bible was written and is therefore not included in the curse of the law. True or false?
False.
I love that big false. Okay. Because it says in Deuteronomy, excuse me?
I haven't ridden that horse, I can tell you.
Yes. Yes. That is real to you. I understand that. Did you know where that is? You don't find cancer in Deuteronomy 28 until you get to verse 61. After it names all these diseases. And then it says this beautiful verse. This is the one I always quote to the enemy. And every other sickness and disease, even those not written in this book of the law. Every other one.
End of discussion.
Yeah, end of discussion. It's covered. Thank God for verse 61.
You know, the tumors and all the other stuff that they talk about. Mm-hmm. And I like your catch-all phrase, too. They just didn't call it.
Well, you know, it kind of gives the enemy no leg to stand on there. And if it wasn't mentioned, then he'd come in and say, yeah, I got to agree that a lot of those diseases are taken care of, but cancer wasn't mentioned. It's not one of them. But thank God for verse 61. All right. I learn and know about the promises in my redemption by reading about it in the newspaper or surfing the internet. Yeah, it's a throwaway question. I only put it in there because, you know, these things are so important. These things touch on the very fiber of life, you know. things that can really mess up a family and things like that. And people sit around and don't open their Bibles, maybe. And they just, you know, they read the newspaper, they come home and they surf the internet all night. And there's nothing wrong with that, but if it's blotting out, you're learning some of these things and getting into it for yourself. Now, see, I like to see it taking root, like when Karen goes out like that and she talks to her friends and lays hands on them and goes to their house after work. Now, that encourages me. It really does.
I didn't go to her house. I just went to where her station was.
And oh, and did it right at work.
Did it right there at work.
Praise the Lord. The Lord loves that.
Karen believes in taking care of what needs to be taken care of.
And taking care of business right now.
And when someone comes to you with a need right then, you got to say, I'll think it over and I'll cut back to you later on.
I don't do that.
That's good.
I said, bless. I try to get them off, you know, where there's not a, the area I work, there's not, but another person, Mark and I work in that same area, and another person. Well, that person don't usually pay much attention to what's going on in our our area. So if I could get them in my area,
they've had it.
They've had it.
That's great.
But I always ask them first. I wouldn't do it if I didn't ask them.
Oh, of course, yeah. You got it all going for you there, yeah. That's
she's
great.
Come a long way, haven't
you? Oh, yeah. She's good. All right. I develop faith in God's promise by hearing and hearing and then meditating on the fact that the Word says that I'm redeemed from the curse. True or false?
True.
True. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And meditating is just another way of really hearing things, getting in the Word and really getting that down in your spirit. And then you have the faith when the enemy comes to stand up right before him and just say, oh, no, you don't. Doing this will develop faith in my heart to receive my healing. Well, that's a throwaway question, isn't it? Thorpe would say it's true. I act on the promise by telling Satan that the Bible says I am redeemed from this disease because it says so in...
Galatians.
Right. Galatians where? 3?
13.
And where does it say every sickness and every disease, in case you ever have to use that?
Deuteronomy 28.
Right. Verse 61. Absolutely good. And then you claim your healing and continue to act in faith until the promise of healing is manifested in your body. So that's the how of it right there. Okay. Since there is no cure, though, for the common cold, it's not part of the curse that we've been redeemed from. See, the world tells you that Satan loves it. There is no cure for the common cold. Oh, yes, there is.
2 weeks.
Yeah. If I'm having problems with my teenagers, I can't use the promise of being redeemed from the curse because this problem is not covered by the curse of sickness or poverty. True or false?
False.
False, because if you look in there, there are problems with your children, there's problems with your marriage, those were curses, you're redeemed from those things.
It is covered, and I know it's covered because it's underlined in my Bible. I open my Bible and I see Sean jump out at me all through.
It says people will try to steal your children. And you know, when a drug dealer comes in and offers your kids drugs, that's the same thing. And you can claim that. You can go in there and tell the enemy, you stay away from my child with those drug dealers. You're not going to have any drug dealer come against my kid because the Word of God says here in Deuteronomy 28, whatever verse that was. If I'm having a problem with my marriage or with people at work, I can't use the promise of being redeemed from the curse because this problem is not covered by the curse of sickness or poverty. True or false?
False.
It's false too. It's all covered in there. I have been redeemed from every sickness and every disease that exists.
True.
True. Insanity and blindness are also under the curse that I'm redeemed from.
That's right.
That's in there too. Even though I'm legally redeemed from sickness, disease, and poverty, I need to continue to walk in love by keeping the love commandment to make it work in my life.
True.
True. Because if you go back, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but it says, if you will walk in my commandment. So there's only one commandment left for the believer, isn't there? And that's the commandment to love. Every other thing, it says, love is the fulfilling of the law. It tells us in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 16.